You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
No breaking news as of yet. Welcome in, 3:05, right on the button on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Got a good show and a packed show for you coming up today with everything that went on yesterday with the retirement announcement with Lisa Bluter, Jan Jensen taking over, the news conference coming up tomorrow. We were scheduled to have Jeff Linder joining us tomorrow. Well, we had to move that up to today because Jeff is going to be in Iowa City for the news conference coming up tomorrow and then heading off to Des Moines for the state co-ed track and field meet. So we will talk instead of tomorrow with Jeff Linder, we will talk with Jeff today about not only state track, but also the change at the top as far as Iowa women's basketball is concerned and other things with Jeff Linder from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. That'll be coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. And then Kyle Huseman's going to join us, and we're going to talk about Iowa baseball. We still will talk about the Hawkeyes and the upcoming Big Ten baseball tournament, but also about Lisa Bluter and Jan Jensen, et cetera, et cetera. We'll do that with Kyle coming up on the program here today as well. And the news of the day to share with you, plus an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. 319-366-1600 is the text line. Again, 319-366-1600. That is a phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that is also 319-366-1600. Andrew across the glass, Mark Dukes, will join me coming up in just a moment from the back porch in the southwest side. Hi, Andrew.
How's it going?
Good.
Good,
good. Good, good, good.
Yeah.
And, yeah. We're just trying to still catch our breath from yesterday.
I didn't even know about it. Somehow I went the whole day. Nobody told me anything about it. No texts, no nothing, no customer at my other job. It was silence until I got home and my dad was like, it's going to be a boring day tomorrow in radio. And I was like, why? And he's like, well, Bluter just said she's retiring. And I was like, what?
You had the Kate Martin reaction?
Yeah, I had no idea. I expected her to be there another year or two, at least.
My wife had the Kate Martin reaction when I told her when I got home. It's like, what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mark Dukes from the back porch in the southwest side joining us as well. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Andrew and everyone out there. And even if we do have an audible today, it won't be nearly as impactful, I don't think, as it was yesterday.
True. Very, very true. And plenty of things to get to. Obviously, still the aftershocks, if you will, of the Lisa Bluter announcement from yesterday. The latest is this. There will be a news conference coming up tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Should be a very interesting news conference, and I think a good news conference. The other thing is, and I have no idea, I think Lisa is probably going to be there somewhere. Probably not. She wants this to be Jan Jensen's day, I think.
Yeah.
Mark.
Yeah.
And Andrew, I don't think there's any doubt about this. I mean, Lisa had her moment in the sun when she came from Drake and was introduced by Christine Grant, you know, 24 years ago. I think she's going to allow Jan Jensen to have that moment in the sun as well tomorrow. Agreed?
Very much so. I think that would be Lisa Bluter's preference, although there's some questions I would have for Lisa. Number one, how long have you been thinking about this? What do you see yourself doing in 6 months to a year? Are you just going to sit back and travel with David, your husband, and go off into the sunset, among other things? But I think by and large, it'll be Jan Jensen's day. And I think it makes for an interesting news conference.
And I think we may get some of those questions answered down the line, either on a one-on-one with one of the folks that cover the Iowa women's basketball team, or maybe Lisa will address the media. Who knows? We found out why the 14-day job posting period was waived. Chad Lystico had that earlier on today at Hawk Central, if you'd like to check that out. And very interesting on how that all played out. Sounds like all the recruits and newcomers are on board as far as Iowa women's basketball is concerned. Of course, you all find out about that through social media these days. And there wasn't a one that said they were not pleased with the announcement that Jan Jensen. Listen, if you thought that those players did not know this was coming, I've got a bridge for you. They knew, Mark. I mean, they may not have known everything, but they knew that something was up.
And I think so as well. And I would say don't think for a minute, despite all the comments from recruits, don't think for a minute that other coaches are sitting back on this and maybe trying to wedge their way with another recruit. I don't know that to be a fact, but that's what happens when something like this happens.
Especially in this day and age. I mean, it's happened, you know, decades in the past, but not to the nth degree that it is happening right now. We're going to get to an early edition of the Emil Sideway scoreboard update coming up in just a little bit, but very interesting national story today. And it has to do with friend of the show. Not only friend of the show, but has been in this very seat, in this very studio. Although I don't know if he was in this seat. He was in this studio, though, on two separate occasions doing his show when he was a member in good standing in ESPN Radio, Mark. Doug Gottlieb today, sometimes controversial talk show, sports talk show host, has been named the new basketball coach at Green Bay, formerly Wisconsin Green Bay, the Fighting Phoenix of Green Bay, and reportedly is still going to get to do his daily radio sports show. I am both intrigued and kind of surprised by both announcements for Doug Gottlieb, Mark. I don't know what kind of coach he could be. Maybe he'll be a terrific coach. I don't know. That remains to be seen. It's going to be a challenge because Green Bay is not a once proud program has fallen on hard times for the Fighting Phoenix up there in northeastern Wisconsin. But I'm intrigued by this. I am just shocked and awed by the fact he's going to try to do both things simultaneously.
I'm not surprised he got a job. In fact, Tom Izzo, Fran McCaffrey, and many other coaches have weighed in on this hiring by Green Bay. And shock is a big word, but I'm totally surprised that Green Bay is going to allow him to continue with his media work. If he continues what he's doing, he's going to be criticizing his opponents, his coaches nationwide. And whatnot. Who's next? Dockich, Tom Crean? I mean, really.
Let's not hope for Dockich. Let's not hope for that. I think we're going to get into that more coming up tomorrow. And who knows, that might be a Friday topic right there. Not so much Doug Gottlieb, but, you know, we got a topic in there somewhere. Maybe we'll have for Friday. Topic material, right, Andrew?
Topic material. Though my question is how is that not a conflict of interest?
That's one of the questions that came up in my head.
You can't be unbiased if you're coaching a team.
And you know.
But you have your own radio show.
Say you're going to play opponent X.
Right.
And you make some sort of a quip about coach of opponent X.
Right.
And, you know, that's going to be a very awkward handshake to come out of the tunnel to start the game Very awkward. 319-366-1600 here on the gym class on 1600 ESPN. Got to be tough times if you're hiring that guy, says Cyclone Tim. 3034 says, yeah, I was listening to the radio on KGY or on that show, and I thought it was a joke when they hired him. Wish him the best, though. Does he have any coaching experience? I don't believe he does. I don't believe he does. Certainly not head coaching experience, Mark, but we'll find out how Doug Gottlieb does. And like I said, more on that coming up tomorrow. Mark, we need to get it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update before we talk to Jeff Linder of the Gazette. And this update brought to you by our good friends at Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. Open at 4 o'clock today. What do we got?
Only one game in the books in Major League Baseball right now. Philadelphia has shut out the New York Mets 4-0 behind a three-hitter from Aaron Nola. Last night, two native Iowans hooked up as starting pitchers in the major leagues. Mitch Keller for Pittsburgh, Colin Ray for Milwaukee. Pittsburgh won that game 8-6. Mitch Kelly pitched six scoreless innings, got the win with seven strikeouts. Colin Ray also went six innings and gave up three runs. Mount Mercy Baseball dropped a decision to number one ranked Southeastern of Florida last night in the NAIA regionals in Lincoln, Nebraska. The Mustangs will play again at 6 o'clock tonight. And news by our next guest, Cedar Rapids Prairie has hired Bruce Dahl, who won five state championships so far, four at Dyke New Hartford. Also, earlier this weekend, Cedar Rapids Washington hired Nate Garner as its head boys basketball coach. Garner, a former Warrior and player at Evansville. And finally, on the eve of the PGA Championship, Rory McIlroy has filed for divorce from his wife of 7 years, Erica. The two have a three-year-old daughter. Didn't seem to bother Rory last week.
No. Too bad. Too bad right there. Yeah, we're going to talk more about the hiring at Cedar Rapids Prairie, just a terrific one. And in fact, we'll do that right now with our next guest. And that is Jeff Linder of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Give him a follow on Twitter and read his stuff at the GazetteOnline.com. And I don't even know where to start, Jeff. Holy cow.
I don't know where to start either. I've got an interview at 3:35, and you guys' show only goes till 4, so we're going to have to, I don't know, just pick the high points. It's been a
we'll hustle.
Wild week.
It has been. Well, let's start with that, the news of today, before we get to the news of yesterday. Cedar Rapids Prairie, new girls basketball coach. You know Bruce Dahl. I know Bruce Dahl. Terrific coach, good guy. I don't think Prairie could have done a whole lot better.
No. I told somebody this, and I firmly believe it. I think this is the biggest splash, head coach splash, for a Metro team regarding girls sports since Lindmar got Teresa K. Bear to coach volleyball.
Hmm. Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. Just the pedigree of what Bruce brings to the Prairie program, and you put that together with the fact that the cupboard, certainly, Kenyon Murray did not leave the cupboard bare.
No. A lot coming back. The top four scorers are back. 70% of the scoring is back. You know, it's been a couple years since the Metro got a team to state in 5A, and Prairie's chances are pretty darn good for the next two or three years.
Yeah, and I think it just helps not only Prairie, obviously. It helps the Metro, and it helps the MVC, I think, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it helps the Metro. It helps. But, yeah, it's a Prairie thing first, and this is a home run hire. And I think this is going to be good for all involved.
About 24 hours ago, Jeff, the news of the day.
Lisa Blue. 24 hours on the dot. We were right in the middle of a Kate Martin Zoom call.
I was going to ask you where you were, and Have you had time to let it marinate? I mean, you wrote, what, three stories in today's Gazette?
Yeah. No, I was in the basement of my house talking to Kate Martin. The phone dings, and, Lisa Bluter announces her retirement. And I think, well, first of all, I think it's today, April 1st. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing I think is, holy heck, just... I can't speak for everybody in the media, but I no way did I see this coming.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I said yesterday when we were talking about it, when it first came down the line, that I was very much surprised. Shocked, maybe not, but I think surprised. I thought that Lisa might go a couple more years. I didn't think there was a doubt that she would like to turn the reins over to Jan when she left. Yeah. But I thought she had a couple more years in her coaching.
I did too. And, it was a double whammy. You get the Bluter news and then the Jan news. I didn't expect that quite so quick. I would have been no more surprised if I had heard that Jan retired too, along with Lisa. Jan's got some good years left, and it's going to be really fun to see what she does with this program. I think she's going to do great, and I really don't think there's going to be a huge impact and certainly not a huge drop off with the program.
Yeah, that was kind of my question. How do you think she'll do, and will Iowa basketball look much different?
I don't think it'll look much different at all. Jan was the one who developed most of the goodwill with the recruits, with the community. You don't get a sunnier personality than what Jan Jensen has. And, heck, I know Jan from back in the 80s when we played pickup ball against each other at Drake, and her team usually beat the heck out of mine. So, it's a great hire, and I don't foresee many, if anybody, departing because of it. I think the recruits will stick around, and I think she'll put up a good product on the floor.
Yeah, it sounds like all reports anyway, at least social media wise, from all the newcomers, that everybody is pretty much on board that they're on. They all want to play for Jan Jensen.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be interesting. You know, she's been the good cop at Iowa for 24 years. She's been the one who will pat kids on the back when they're, when Lisa might have got a little growly with them. And now does she maintain that? I think to an extent, yes. How will she do with X's and O's? I'm sure she'll do fine. I think she's still going to do more than her share of the recruiting, even as a head coach. And I just think I don't think this is a bad thing at all.
Jeffrey, can't possibly go over everything in the state track meet. I don't know how you do it, but at any rate, let's generalize and just start out by what are the storylines, at least in the Gazette circulation area, that you're going to be watching?
Well, I think there's a few teams in our coverage area that have a chance to win championships. I think Lisbon's got a chance to repeat in 1A boys. I think Western Dubuque's boys have a chance in 3A. I think Iowa City West has an outside chance in 4A. And I think maybe the most intriguing thing of all is Tipton's girls in 2A. They didn't score a point last year. Noelle Steinis moves in. The other kids, around her get better, and they might go from 0 points 1 year to winning the whole thing this week.
Crazy, crazy stuff. And, you talked about some of the teams that could maybe bring home at least a top three anyway. You talked about Iowa City West. Kennedy boys, I think, are probably they've got a ton of people I know going over.
Yeah, Kennedy and Prairie boys are both potential top five teams in 4A. I didn't mention Mount Vernon girls. I think they've got a shot at a trophy in 3A, maybe an outside chance to win it. Solon isn't projected to do a ton, but they're the two-time defending champs, and you can't you can't discount them either.
You know, Jeff, not so great weather for the qualifying meets, and I think that maybe skewed things a little bit in terms of some events anyway. The performances weren't as good as some individuals have posted all season long, but these runners, these throwers, these jumpers, they know each other and who the competition is, I guess.
Yeah, and to be honest, I was out of town Thursday for the state qualifying meets, and you know the way the weather was, it probably wasn't a bad thing. I was out in Ames, but it'll work itself out. I don't imagine that there was anybody that didn't qualify last week that would have done anything humongous anyway.
Yeah. Maybe not in our area, but some really good runners and good teams. I know Ankeny boys put up I don't know if they still have the nation's top time, but man, there was some craziness at Drake.
Yeah, there was. Ankeny boys were fantastic. Allison Dornkamp from West Des Moines Valley sets an all-time Iowa best in the girls 3000, takes down Stephanie Jenks' old record, and we know how good Stephanie was. Just a bunch of really good stuff, and the weather's going to be better this week, and I think there's going to be some really good performances.
Then you get 6 hours of a break, and then Monday softball hits.
Yeah, our state area softball preview package will go in Monday's paper, and next Monday I've got Solon Mount Vernon softball, and that'll be interesting right out of the chute.
No bigger way to start the softball season than that.
No, it'll be fantastic.
Who are some of the top teams you're looking at? No matter what class.
Boy.
I mean, Northland will always be around.
Northland's going to be good. Look out for Sigourney in 1A. They've got probably the best pitcher in our area in Carly Goodwin. I think Albernette's a sleeper in 2A. I think they could be a dark horse that might do some big things in July. There's several WOMAC teams that are going to be really good. Williamsburg's not going to go away. Benton Community's going to be really good. We mentioned Mount Vernon, Solon. Clear Creek's going to be pretty good. Xavier's going to be probably our best Metro team, I would guess. I think I would say Liberty's still going to be good. And I think, you know, once you get past Xavier, I think in the Metro, I think it's going to be a lot of teams beating up on each other. A lot of teams, it'll probably be something like 22-18, 23-17, somewhere in that range.
What's the big question you want to ask Lisa Bluder tomorrow?
If you get a chance to.
Why? Why and why now? I don't know if Lisa's going to be there tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised at all if she's not, just to let this be Jan's day. I that would be my guess. And if she's not, I'll certainly try to get a hold of Lisa once the dust settles here within the next week or two.
Thinking more about this, I think that what Iowa, the entire program has gone through, and, you know, we'll talk about Caitlin a little bit more coming up before 4 o'clock, but her debut in the WNBA tonight. I mean, this was a circus for 2 years. I mean, you were right in the middle of the circus.
Yeah. And
this had to wear on her a little bit.
This has been, I think for everybody, I don't know if anybody's going to say it, but it's been an exhausting 2 years. It's been a thrilling, scintillating 2 years, but my golly, we've got the 23 season ends in April. You've got the Clark Awards Whirlwind Tour. You've got the European Tour in the summer. You've got the crossover at Kinnick in October. This women's basketball season was almost 6 months long.
Yeah.
From mid-October to April 7th. Then on top of that, you've got game day coming. You've got Ted Lasso showing up. You've got Gus Johnson coming in. You've got the crowds home and away. And, yeah, it was a circus. It was a circus for the team. I can't speak for everybody in the media. It was an exhausting year for me. And, you know, Lisa's not 24 years old anymore. And I assume her health is fine. But it had to have worn on her. It had to have worn on everybody.
Yeah. Great to see all the comments, positive comments to Lisa's career, though, from former players. I know you had a lot of those in the paper today.
Yeah, that was kind of the fun, the adrenaline rush of yesterday at this time, is looking at, you know, the Rolodex on my computer, whatever you want to call it, just calling people. And most of them answered and gave me some great things to say.
Yeah. And coaches, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't able, I didn't have the time to call a lot of coaches, but a lot of them on social media had a lot of good things to say.
They did. Yeah. And it was interesting that Bill Fenley was in town with the Cyclone tailgate tour.
I wish I could have talked to Bill, see what he had to say. I know their relationship wasn't always
peaches and cream,
but you know, they can't help but have some at least grudging respect for each other.
Yeah, and Bill had
I like the idea Jeff used the word Rolodex. I really like it.
Well, it's word format on my computer, so we'll call it Rolodex and make me sound cool.
All right, hey Jeff, thanks for the time. Keep up the great work. Safe travels to Des Moines, and we'll see you soon, man.
All right, thanks you guys.
You bet. Jeff Linder of the Gazette taking time out to join us here as he is again busy. When is he not busy? This guy deserves about a 5-week vacation.
He wouldn't know what that is.
No, and he wouldn't take it. He wouldn't take it. Maybe 5 days, but that would be too much. Just covering everything under the sun. The guys and gals at the Gazette do a terrific, terrific job. 3:31, we're going to take a short break, come back, and we are going to get a hold of Kyle Huseman, and we will talk a little bit more about the Lisa Bluter retirement, but mainly going to talk a little bit about the Iowa baseball team and the year. What does the postseason trail look like, etc., with Kyle? We'll do that when we come back here on the Gym Class for a Tuesday here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And the rain will be moving out and the clouds will gradually clear as we head through the late afternoon and this evening. Temperatures will be dropping down into the mid-40s tonight with mostly clear skies. As we head into tomorrow, we'll have more sunshine around. Temperatures will be in the low to mid-70s. And then we are going to have the chance for rain increasing late Wednesday into Thursday with some scattered showers and storms possible here and there. We'll have temperatures still in the low 70s Thursday afternoon. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Have you ever seen a painting you love? Like a beautiful landscape with majestic snow-capped mountains, deep green pine trees surrounding a tall rock ledge, with a waterfall falling into a deep blue lake? I always wished I could paint scenes like that, but I had no talent and couldn't even draw a stick figure. But my life changed when I learned a simple 400-year-old technique from the old masters. In no time at all, I was doing beautiful paintings, thanks to PaintByNote.com.
Hi, my name is Eric Rhodes, inventor of the PaintByNote system. I had no talent, yet today my paintings are selling in art galleries. With my PaintByNote method, I can teach anyone to paint. I've taught thousands, and I can teach you too. I guarantee it. Soon, you'll be impressing your friends with your beautiful paintings. I'd like to give you a free lesson to prove it. No credit card required. Just go to PaintByNote.com. Like a music note, paint by note. For your free lesson, go to paintbynote.com.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Just in time for grilling season, 1600 ESPN is giving you the chance to fill your freezer full of meat with our Meet and Greet contest. Today's winning code word is RUB. R-U-B, RUB. Enter that right now at KGYMradio.com for a chance to win $500 in meat. Plus, you'll also be entered for a chance at $5,000 as part of a national giveaway. Again, enter the word RUB right now at KGYMradio.com for a chance to win.
3:34 back with you on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. NBA playoff basketball is back from ESPN Radio. We've got that coming your way tonight. Couple texts to get to before we get to Kyle here. 2537, great hire for Wash. Nate's going to do big things for that program. I agree. Good kid, too. I'm getting older and older, Mark. Yet another guy that I covered back in the day when he played. Now is coaching. Also, 2757, the more I think about Bluter's retirement, Jan's hire, it makes sense to me. Caitlin and Lisa leaving marks at the end of an era. Logical time for Jan to start her own legacy. I'm going to find out more about that coming up tomorrow. 1 o'clock is the news conference down at Carver Hawkeye Arena in Iowa City. And imagine one of the folks that'll be down there, Kyle Huseman, joining us from On3 Sports, covering the Iowa Hawkeyes, especially baseball and women's basketball. And by golly, we're going to talk about those things today. How you doing, Kyle? Are you 24 hours and 5 minutes since it was announced yesterday? Is your head still spinning?
You know, first off, thanks for having me on. 24 hours ago, as you said, I had heard some rumblings that it was potentially going to happen, you know, not confirmed or anything, maybe towards the end of the summer if it was going to happen. Was not ready for it to happen at 3:30 yesterday. Wasn't prepared at all for it. So when it came across on Twitter that she was retiring, there was an hour or two there where things were going quickly, just trying to get stuff out and trying to react to it. But yeah, there were some rumblings of it, but like I said, I mean, yesterday was definitely not the time that I was expecting it to happen.
Well, some of Lisa's former players are in action tonight on national TV in the WNBA openers. Of course, Caitlin Clark, we know about. Kate Martin, great story, making the Las Vegas roster and joining Megan Gustafson. I want to ask you, Kyle, about expectations, not only for Clark, but maybe for Kate Martin.
Yeah, I think the expectations for Caitlin, being the first pick in the draft, the expectations are pretty high. So we'll see how she does it, though. I mean, she's had expectations at Iowa every year that she's been at Iowa. I mean, she came in as a, you know, what, third or fourth best player in the recruiting rankings when she was a freshman. So those expectations were on her right away. And really at no time at Iowa did it seem like those expectations, that pressure on her with everything that surrounded her, none of it really seemed to get to her. Maybe that first round of the NCAA tournament against Holy Cross was the one where that one game where you kind of felt like maybe she was a little out of sorts. But any other time other than that, she handled everything very well. So I don't expect the pressure of the WNBA to get to her. It will be different for her, though, because, you know, at Iowa she was averaging 30-plus points a game. The primary score that if she didn't score 25, 30 points a game, that they struggled to win. For the Fever, it'll be different for her. She's not going to have to score 35 in a game or 30 in a game for them to win because, you know, as good as the Iowa women's basketball team was to make the national title game, the WNBA is very different. I mean, they have players around her that are going to help her a lot. Just by watching a couple of the preseason games, she wasn't, you know, point guard every possession. The ball isn't in her hands in every possession. So, you know, the expectations are going to be high. And for her, the expectations are high for herself. She wants to help get the Indiana Fever back to the playoffs, and Aaliyah Boston's on that team, Melissa Smith's on that team. They've got a lot of good players on that team. But as you talk about expectations for Caitlin, she's going to score her fair share of points. I think the assist numbers will be a little bit lower just because, like I said, you know, the ball's not going to be in her hands every possession like it was at Iowa. So, you know, where at Iowa she was averaging 8-9 assists a game, I think she could average 5-6 assists a game. And it'd still be kind of that similar level of playmaking ability for her. She just doesn't have the ball in her hands as much. I'm just curious to see how she adjusts. You know, the preseason games are a little different. Teams are putting in their whole roster. Tonight is where the teams are trying to win. You know, not that they're not trying to win the preseason games, but you know, starters are going to be playing heavy minutes. Caitlin's going to be playing heavy minutes. So tonight and, you know, these first couple weeks of the season, it'll be interesting to see how she adjusts to playing in the WNBA. And for Kate Martin, I mean, the expectations are her. There's not a lot, I guess. You know, she gets drafted in the second round, 18th overall. You know, she was kind of expected to get drafted somewhere, we're thinking more third round. But, you know, the way the WNBA works, you know, less than 50% of those players that get drafted make the opening day roster. So when she gets drafted, you know, it's an exciting time for her. But you still knew the odds were against her historically to make the roster. And I mean, the Aces are back-to-back league champions. So you knew it was going to be hard, So I think her just making the opening night roster is just a huge thing for her, huge thing for her family, huge thing for Iowa to have that happen. And I know the fan base and her family and everyone that, that cheers for Iowa and Vesso is really happy. I'm really happy for Kate Martin that she gets there. You know, we'll see what if she has a role of any kind. I could see her just being one that, that, you know, plays later in games if they're winning by a lot or losing by a lot. And I think Kate's kind of okay with that. You know, she wanted to have the opportunity to make the Aces roster. She said that on draft night, that she just wanted the opportunity to get drafted by a team and have a chance to make a roster. And she did that. And now she gets to take, you know, that, that stuff that she learned at Iowa, being able to play with a star player like Caitlin. You know, she's playing with Kelsey Plum now. You know, she's playing with some really good players in the WNBA. So she gets to kind of take some of those experiences at Iowa, whether it's the part where she did a little bit of everything for Iowa or the leadership qualities that she has or playing with a star like Caitlin. She can take all those experiences and, you know, put them toward playing with the Aces now. And I think a lot of that is why she made the team. So Caitlin obviously has different expectations, but I think for Kate Martin, it's just the fact that she made the team and she's now on the Las Vegas Aces. And now she's a part of a team that, that could potentially make it three in a row for NBA or WNBA titles. And for Kate, that'd be really cool to see her get a ring, you know, with the fact that, that she made it to back-to-back national title games and didn't get one that way. But, yeah, really cool. And you mentioned Megan Gustafson as well. That might be the coolest part is that, that Kate made the roster and now she's with someone, Megan Gustafson, that she was on that freshman team with Megan. Or she was a freshman on that team with Megan that made the Elite Eight. So to see them get reunited is really cool as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch and fun to watch that game coming up tonight at Connecticut, a sellout in Uncasville, Connecticut. Biggest thing to happen there in a long, long time. Back to Lisa and her retirement and Jan coming in. We talked about this with Jeff Linder before we brought you on, Kyle, and asked him kind of, you know, just everything going, the whirlwind of the last 2 years and how much that had to do with maybe Lisa stepping down. Don't want to say that is the reason why, but I'm sure it played a little bit of a part in the reason why she is stepping down at this time. And that, and also, do you see much of a change? Do you anticipate Jenna Fitzgerald staying on? What do you think it's going to look like next year at Carver?
Yeah, I think first off, you know, Lisa Bluter deciding to retire, I think it was kind of a culmination of things. You know, Lisa's not an old person by any means, but, you know, when coaches get to that age, it just happened with Tara Vanderveer, you know, retiring at Stanford. She talked about the fact that, you know, 2015, 2017 area, she considered retiring. And, you know, it's just the thing when coaches get to that age, you know, they kind of think about, you know, how many years do I want to coach? Do I want to do five more years? Do I want to do one more year and see? And some coaches like Vanderveer, it's, oh, I'll do one more. And then it's like, ah, yeah, I'll do one more. And all of a sudden you're there another almost 10 years. But in Lisa Bluter's case, maybe she would have been okay with coaching another 3 to 5 years. But then you take into account, you know, like you said, the last 2 years and really the last 5 or 6 years when you go back to making the Elite Eight with Megan Gustafson, and then making back-to-back national title games. And, you know, Caitlin Clark's moving on. You just had the number one draft pick in the WNBA. Kate gets drafted as well. Just kind of a culmination of those things. You know, even if she was thinking, you know, I could probably do 3 to 5 more years, you're not going to be able to end in 3 to 5 more years any better than you could end it right now. You know, Iowa's not going to be a bad team going forward by any means. They're going to be still be an NCAA tournament team, still be a really good basketball team. But if Lisa Bluter stuck around 3 to 5 more years, she likely wasn't going to end it in a better way. There's not going to be another Caitlin Clark that quickly. I mean, there will be another player that will be similar to her at some point. But you look at it, and there's no better way to go out. You know, go out virtually on top as one of the most popular teams in the country. I mean, the most popular team in the country, the way they were selling out crowds and things like that. So, I don't know, I'd be interested to ask Lisa if I got the chance, you know, could you have gone another 3 to 5 years or something like that? But I think it was just one of those where it's not going to get better than this. Sometimes you see coaches stick around a few years too long and all of a sudden, instead of talking about the back-to-back national championship appearances, it could be like, oh, they missed the NCAA tournament 3 years in a row, something like that. And with Lisa leaving at this point, all the talk will be about what happened at the very end of her career. There will be no talk about, you know, falling off or anything like that. So I just think it was just kind of the perfect time, and that's kind of why she made the decision that way. In terms of your question about going forward, I think the everything will really be basically the same. I mean, Jan Jensen has been on staff with Lisa for 32 years, I mean, 8 at Drake and then 24 at Iowa. Shan was basically, it could have, I mean, she could have been a head coach anywhere else. She stuck around. She's basically the head coach, one of the head coaches. I mean, Lisa and Jan together were head coaches of that team, basically. I mean, when you're along with someone for 32 years, I don't expect many changes when Jan comes in and takes the head coaching job. I think things will move along about the same way. I think it's about as seamless of a transition as you can get. You know, if you have to hire someone from outside, they have to try to, you know, bring in their recruits and try to hold the other recruits, things like that. When you've had someone that's been ingrained with Iowa for as long as Jan has, you don't expect much to change. You brought up Jenny Fitzgerald, and that's certainly a really good question. Jenny's been around with that group of three for the whole time as well. So, you know, does Lisa leaving, you know, does Jenny decide to retire as well? I don't know. I mean, maybe she's not thinking about it at all. Maybe she's thinking about it a little bit. I would expect if there is going to be a change there, if Jenny does decide to retire, I would assume that would come soon. Sooner rather than later, just because you're going to want to put a staff together. You know, if she does decide to leave, that opens up a couple of positions on the staff. If she decides to stay, that makes things a little bit easier. With Jan moving out of that, you know, that assistant coach lead recruiter role, there is that spot open. I could definitely see Raina Harmon potentially get moved up to that lead recruiter spot. Abby Stamps, another one that does a lot of recruiting. You know, if they want to bring in an assistant coach. I wrote earlier today that I think Randy Henderson, current head coach at Washington University in St. Louis, she was a former player under Lisa and Jan, a post player. So, you know, Jan Jensen's moving to that head coach role. She's not going to be able to be a post coach 100% of the time like she was. She'll still be able to do stuff here and there, but, you know, she's got to run practices and things like that. So if they were to be able to get Randy Henderson, a former post player at Iowa, under those two, I think that would be a great addition to have that post experience. You know, Henderson was actually an assistant at Charlotte for a couple of years. So I think that would be, you know, if she's interested, I think that would be a great addition. You could also go the route of, you know, Tanaya Davis is currently the director of player development. You know, if Jan thinks she's ready to be an assistant coach role, they could elevate her into that position. And then, you know, it'd be a little bit easier to go after someone in a director of player development role. You could look at foreign players, you know, someone like Kathleen Doyle is an assistant coach at her high school, an assistant boys coach. So she could potentially be someone that could be available for that. Zion Sanders is a former player at Iowa. She's currently an assistant coach at Towson. So maybe she could get considered for an assistant or director of player development role. But I think if Jenny Fitzgerald stays, there's a pretty good chance that whoever gets added to this coaching staff is going to have Iowa connections. I think if Jenny were to decide to leave, you'd probably have to broaden things a little bit out. Maybe they bring someone out that doesn't have an Iowa connection. But there's certainly a couple of names in there, some former Hawkeyes that could definitely do the job, whether it's assistant coach or if it is the director of player development role.
Kyle, the Iowa baseball team has concluded the conference portion, at least, of its schedule and is one of three teams to qualify so far for the tournament. What are the ceiling and floor for Iowa in terms of seeding for the Big Ten tournament?
Yeah, they can be up to a 4 seed at this point, and they can be as low as a 6 seed, which scheduling purposes, the Big Ten tournament is really weird. The 3-6 game is the first game on Tuesday at 10 a.m., and the 4-5 game is the one lone game on Wednesday at 2 p.m., so they're either going to get the last game or the first game of the tournament. There's some things that they have to go on. There's some different scenarios for them to get up to fourth, potentially fifth, or sixth place. So you kind of have to watch and see how it plays out this weekend. I think the most likely scenario is that they're currently in sixth right now. I think they could probably move up to that 4-5 game, which would move them to Wednesday. I'd be curious to see what the coaching staff would think. You know, would you rather play on Tuesday and have your games more spread out? If you're able to make a run this Sunday, you'd have a larger spread of rest time potentially. Or would you rather take more rest after your series this week against Florida International and play on a Wednesday? So there's a little bit of, you know, deciding on, you know, which one would you like? Who do you want to root for this weekend, I guess? But, yeah, they'll either be playing in that first game of the tournament on Tuesday or the last game of the first round on Wednesday.
The route for Iowa, it's pretty simple. They need to win in Omaha next week, correct?
Yeah, their RPI is in the low 90s right now, which is probably 35, 40 spots higher than it needs to be to have a chance at the NCAA tournament. You know, maybe that makes it a little bit easier. You know, you're not going and saying, hey, we have to win this first game. Otherwise, you know, it could be a huge hit for our RPI. You just kind of go in, pressure up and say, let's just go win it. You know, maybe it can be easier in that regard. Obviously, Iowa would, you know, the expectations at the beginning of the season were that they were going to be trying to play for a regional host spot at this point. So certainly they'd love that. But I think you can just go in, pressure's off. You know, we don't have any expectations here. No one expects us to win this tournament. You can go in that way and give it your best shot in that regard. And I think this team is certainly talented enough. There's some injuries, obviously, with Sam Peterson and Kyle Huxtorf out that have certainly hurt the offense. But the pitching staff is talented enough. We've seen it at times this year. Brody Breck's really turning the corner as of late. They've got guys in the pitching staff. And, you know, it's kind of hard for me to sit here at this point of the season. They've played almost 50 games now. And me to sit here and go, it's there. People probably don't believe me. But it is. You know, I could absolutely see them go and win the Big Ten tournament next week. You know, people probably think I'm lying in that, but I could absolutely see them do that. I could also see them go 0-2 and be done on, you know, Wednesday. So it'll be interesting to see, but I do think, you know, going into the tournament with no pressure of, you know, you're going to be one of those middle seeds. Everybody's going to be looking at Nebraska, who's going to have a home advantage, you know, being close to Lincoln there. They're going to have a huge crowd. I think Illinois is probably going to be the one seed. Purdue's fighting for an NCAA tournament spot. Indiana's fighting for an NCAA tournament spot. You're not going to be a part of that talk. You're not going to be a part of the hometown Nebraska crowd talk, things like that. So maybe Iowa can fly in a little under the radar with a pitching staff that is certainly capable of shutting down the offenses. Maybe that plays into their favor. You know, we've seen Iowa do it before. They've won the Big Ten tournament under Rick Heller when they weren't expected to. That was back when they were still playing at, you know, other Big Ten stands. I believe that was at Indiana that year. But we've seen them do it in that type of situation. So I could absolutely see them making a run this next week, but it's going to come down to, can the pitching staff, can they find enough guys to get them through four games without, you know, having something blow up and lose a couple of games somewhere. But it'll be interesting. I think it's going to be a really interesting tournament. The Big Ten season's been really crazy. I mean, Iowa, just as of last Sunday, there was still a chance of a 5- or 6-way tie for first place. So that tells you the way the Big Ten season's gone this year. I think it's been a fantastic tournament, and I think Iowa's got a shot if the things go the right way for them.
Brody Brecht, one of those starting pitchers. Bright future, obviously. And you mentioned maybe turning a corner a little bit. Strikeouts are there. Velocity is there. Got to cut down on the walk. Starting to do that a little bit. How high can he go and hear his name called in the Major League Baseball draft?
Yeah, I think, you know, the way that his season started maybe was a little frustrating for people that were looking to draft him in the first round, because they really wanted to see this be the year where he came out and really dominated. And, you know, it's interesting. I don't know that the end of the season, these last four starts, can they really change people's minds that much? I don't know. I think there were a lot of mock drafts at him really early first round coming into the season. And if he came out and dominated, kind of like these last four starts have went, if that was his entire season, I think he's for sure a top 10 pick in the draft. I think right now he's still a first round pick, in my opinion. You know, I think he's probably more of a late first round pick now, because there are some pitchers, the college pitchers, that are going to be ahead of him. I think he's probably going to be fourth or fifth pitcher off the board in terms of college starting pitchers. Like I said, if he came out and dominated the entire season, I think he'd be right there as one of the top college arms off the board. But, you know, it's been a little bit up and down. He's had some games where he's hit some bad. He's had some games where he's had some walks. The strikeouts have been there. I mean, he broke the single-season record for strikeouts. He has 117 of them in 70 innings. There's no way to argue that. Those are fantastic numbers. It's the 43 walks and the hit-by-pitches that have hurt him at times. But as I said, he's been doing much better down the stretch. Now, how much is that going to change minds of the people drafting him? I don't know. But either way, you know, he's going to be a first-round draft pick, in my opinion. That's going to give him a pretty large signing bonus. And once he gets in with you know, the MLB teams and starts working with, you know, those MLB pitching coaches, I think what we've seen these last four starts and what we've seen you know, last year and at times throughout his career, that's easily possible for him to do night in and night out. And if he can do that, the sky's the limit for him. I mean, he's one of the most talented pitchers in the country. It's just a matter of getting that consistency from a night in and night out basis. I mean, against Northwestern, he struck out 13 and walked 2 over 8 innings. I mean, that's impressive. It's just a matter of trying to harness that night, that type of night, and do that consistently. But I think he'll be a first-round draft pick, probably more of the later first-round draft pick. And you know, that's those teams that just made the playoffs. So one of those teams could luck out with a guy that's going to be – I think he's going to be a successful pitcher. And I really think he could definitely make the major leagues at some point. So whoever drafts him in that late first round, I think is going to get a really good pitcher.
All right. Hey, have fun in Des Moines and in Omaha. Kyle, keep up the great work, and thanks for the time. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet. We're going to take a break, come back, and wrap things up for a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Stick with us. More to come after this.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online at hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation to determine the ED medication that's best for you. Discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and a range of treatment options, including trusted generic alternatives to the name brands, at up to 95% off. ED is personal, and at Hims, so is treating it. Just go to hims.com/joy and get connected to a licensed medical provider online for free. With zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
Thanks to our two guests today. Do appreciate it. Don't forget, we got more local sports talk coming up next. Spencer on Sports from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And then tonight we've got Game 5 between Denver and Minnesota starting at 9 o'clock this evening. That series tied at 2 games apiece. They'll tip that one off at 9:35. That has been a very, very contentious series. Speaking of contentious series, in fact, a little bit of mayhem, violence, and some bloodshed between the Boston Bruins and the Florida Panthers, and they will have Game 5 of their hockey series coming up tonight as well. And Caitlin Clark's debut coming up tonight. Now, the Pacers play as well as the Fever, so not sure how this is all going to go out in basketball-hungry Indiana, Mark, but we will talk about how Caitlin and Kate did and Megan and Kia coming up tomorrow, among other things.
Sounds great. Look forward to it.
Yeah, and a lot of information today. Thanks to our two guests, Kyle Huseman and Jeff Linder, for coming on, because couldn't get them on Wednesday, obviously, with the news conference going down on Wednesday afternoon. But always good to hear and kind of hear what they had to say, their thoughts about Lisa's retirement.
No doubt about it. Jeff, best in the business, and Kyle does a great job in a variety of roles, and you heard him in Iowa baseball and women's basketball, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. All right. So we've got that coming your way tomorrow on the Wednesday, the midweek edition of the Gym Class. And then Barry Abrams will join us to talk about the Preakness coming up on Thursday. Mark, have a very good night. We'll talk tomorrow.
I will. Talk then.
All right. Andrew, you have a great night as well. And again, stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock right here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 AM. We'll talk tomorrow at 3.
Need assistance with door and window projects? The Home Depot can help. From inspiration and materials to ordering.